Well, let's pray together. Awesome and loving and merciful God, we thank you for this day. God, we thank you for your presence among us. We thank you for bringing us together as a community that loves you and wants to worship you. And now, God, I thank you for the words that you have given me to share. And God, as I share them, I pray that there would be more of you in them and less of me. I pray all that in Jesus' name. Amen. So there are some pretty harmful sayings that we seemingly innocently frequently use in the church. I call them Christian cliches. Christian cliches. And I personally try my hardest to avoid using them at all costs. One of them is, God is in control. God is in control. I believe that to be harmful because if you follow that logic, God is in control, or if you follow that theology, that belief that God is in control, if you follow it, then you have to follow it to all of the bad things that happen in the world, right? If God is actually in control, you have to also believe he either allowed those bad things or he caused those bad things. A couple of biggies for me are the Holocaust and the terrorist attacks of September 11th, 2001. But also, all the things that are in between those, right? Also, any bad thing that has happened to me personally, such as losing my dad when I was just 12 years old. Or my mom losing her husband when she was just 33 years old. To believe God is in control is to believe he took all of those innocent lives, including the life of my father, who was only 36. Personally, I cannot believe that about God. And if I did believe that about God, I would not be standing here worshiping him because I wouldn't even like him. Another Christian cliche we like to use, especially in the midst of suffering, is God will never give me more than I can handle. It would stand to reason if you believe that about God, that you also believe he gave you the suffering that you are currently dealing with, but he's not a monster after all, so he'll let you get past that little bit that he gave you before he gives you some more. Again, if I believed that about God, I wouldn't be standing here with you right now or even in this place because I wouldn't like him very much if I believed that about him. But here's what I do believe and what I know from personal experience. There is suffering in this life. Amen? There is suffering in this life. Bad things happen to good people and bad people alike. Suffering is an obvious, indisputable part of living this life on this earth. We suffer, don't we? We suffer. We suffer loss and pain and sickness and disease and loneliness and sadness, and that is barely the tip of the iceberg. So what do we do with our suffering? What do we do with our suffering, especially if we say God is in control? What do we do with it? What do we do with the state of this world and the suffering that we clearly see and experience in this life? We all suffer, don't we? Some of you don't. We all suffer and we say, God is good. Amen. All the time. And all the time. God is good. Y'all are going to have to work on that Methodist thing before your next pastor gets in here. God is good. And all the time, we say that, don't we? How can we reconcile all of that, though? The suffering and the goodness of God. How do we say God is good and at the same time suffer so much in this life? Well, that's the premise of the words we heard from Isaiah chapter 40 this morning. These are the same kinds of questions and struggles that the exiled Jewish people we're asking and suffering through. If God is so good and powerful and loving, why has he forgotten about us in our suffering? If he's so good, where is he? Why has he forgotten about me? Where is he now when things are so bad and so scary and so lonely? I have to admit, I confess or something, that I get like that sometimes too. I do that sometimes. I'm sometimes quick to thank God in the good times, but then even quicker to convict him or question him or forget that he's by my side in my suffering. And suffering isn't just death or disease or depression or job loss or big things like that either. Sometimes it's a string of bad days that are just bad days, right? That's suffering. Sometimes it's an argument with Megan that I find out is my fault, which is usually. Sometimes it's a disagreement with somebody here maybe that lingers and affects me in a negative way for a long time. Suffering comes in all kinds of shapes and sizes, and sometimes when it comes, I forget how good and powerful and loving and caring and present God really is. And I mope and I doubt and I probably bring others down with me and I try to get through it by myself. Sometimes I don't recognize God's presence with me in my suffering. Are you suffering anything right now? Are you suffering anything right now? Can you recall suffering that you've endured in the past? Those seem like silly questions, don't they? Because of course you're suffering something, and of course you can recall suffering that you've had in your past. But are you suffering like the Israelites suffered? Maybe that's a better question. Are you suffering like they suffered, doubting God in the midst of it, questioning his presence with you and his compassion for you? Do you ever get what the new proclamation commentary says the Israelites had, which is spiritual amnesia? Spiritual amnesia. Do you ever forget how good and faithful and compassionate God is when you are in the middle of your suffering only to look back and be able to easily see him there? Spiritual amnesia. We do that sometimes, don't we? We do that. We get spiritual amnesia when we are able to look back on past suffering and see a compassionate, loving God walking us through it, but then we're unable to feel him or see him with us in our current suffering, unable to remember how good and loving and compassionate he is. Spiritual amnesia makes it easy to look back and see God, but difficult to know he's with us now too. That he's not just the God of the past, but he's also the God of the present. He didn't just walk with us in our past suffering, he also walks with us in our present suffering. That is the message Isaiah was sharing with the Jewish people who were suffering in Babylon that day. They were in exile. Scholars date this part of the book of Isaiah to around 545 BC, which is during the time of the southern kingdom, Judah, being exiled in Babylon. The Jewish people had been taken from their home and were forced to live in Babylon, and their lives were not very good there, right? Their lives were not very good in Babylon. They were away from their homeland, which they loved. Many of them were separated from their family, whom they loved. And maybe worst of all, they thought God had forgotten about them there. They thought God had forgotten about them. They were suffering terribly, and in that suffering, they doubted God's presence and love and compassion for them. But Isaiah was having none of that, was he? Better yet, God was having none of that. Through the prophet Isaiah, who spoke for God, God wanted them to know he was with them. I know it sucks in Babylon, but I'm with you because I'm that good, right? Especially I'm with you in your suffering. Especially in your suffering. Isaiah attempted to make two things abundantly clear for the Israelites through God. First, God is good, right? God is good. God is very good and very powerful and full of compassion. And second, Isaiah wanted them to know he did not leave them alone in their suffering. In fact, it is in their suffering that he is most present with them. Psalm 34:18 says, God is near to the brokenhearted. God is near to the brokenhearted. And that is what Isaiah wanted the Israelites to know. As people who suffer sometimes, as people who suffer a lot of the times, isn't that such a comforting message to hear from God? Isn't it comforting for you who suffer to know that God is near to the brokenhearted and that he is most present with those who suffer? We suffer, don't we? If we pretend like we don't, then we're just doing that, pretending. We suffer, and we doubt God's presence and care with us in our suffering sometimes too, don't we? Or at least we sometimes forget about his presence and care for us until our suffering has come and gone, and we can look back and say, oh yeah, there you were. But God, through the prophet Isaiah, is saying here, I know you are suffering. I know you are suffering, but I am good and I love you too much to leave you there. I am with you and I will give you strength and power to get through the suffering. And I want you to know that in the suffering, I want you to know that now in the suffering, not just after the suffering when you look back and see me. I want you to feel me now while you're suffering. The New Proclamation commentary that I mentioned earlier, I think it can help us understand this a little better. The writer says there, our text from Isaiah 40 confronts us with an enigma. It claims that those who feel frail, exiled, and fallen, though they may not realize it, are precisely the people closest to God's empowerment. Where finitude and vulnerability are acknowledged and embraced, it declares the floodgates are wide open for an inrushing of divine might. Our God is a God who preferentially gives power to the faint and strengthens the powerless. As God states a bit later in Isaiah, I dwell in the high and holy place and also with those who are contrite and humble in spirit. And then the commentary writer says, the exile's lowliness and suffering is their paradoxical gateway into the fullness of God's royal image. In truth, he says, their suffering is a dwelling place for God. Their suffering is a dwelling place for God. Don't you just love that image? Can you see it? Can you feel it? Their suffering is a dwelling place for God. God didn't cause it, and God didn't give it to them, but God dwells in it with them. God dwells in it with you. The writer is saying, and I agree, that it is in our suffering that we are most able to know the fullness and feel the love and comfort of our God. God dwells with us in our suffering. I love the thought of that. And it caused me to think of the word compassion a lot this week. I thought of that word a lot. I thought of the multiple times God is referred to as being a compassionate God. And specifically, I thought of Matthew 9:36, which says of Jesus, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus saw the suffering of the people and he had compassion for them. Do you know the meaning of the word compassion? Do you know the meaning of it? It means co-suffering. Co-suffering, or to suffer with. So that day when Jesus saw the crowds of people who were suffering in various different ways, Scripture literally tells us that he suffered with them. He became a co-sufferer alongside of them. Whenever we read of God being compassionate, we can know that Scripture is literally telling us that God is suffering with us. He suffers with us. And that is how the commentary writer can say with great confidence that our suffering is a dwelling place for God because he is compassionate. It's because God is compassionate. He is good and he is mighty and he is powerful. Yes. And he is far above the princes and rulers of this world. Yes. But certainly for people like us who have to endure so much suffering in this life, his compassionate nature, his willingness to be a co-sufferer with us, his offer to dwell with us in our suffering has to be among some of the greatest of his characteristics. Amen. What if you knew this in the midst of your suffering? What if you knew it in the midst of your suffering and not only in the wake of your suffering? What if you embraced God when you suffer instead of only recognizing him and being grateful as you look back and see him in the wake of it? So I think that I've suffered a lot in my life. I think a lot of us can probably make that same claim, but I feel like I, for a 46-year-old man, have suffered a lot. Probably the most suffering that I have endured came when my dad died on June 30th, 1984, when I was 12 years old. That was a very painful and lonely and scary time for me. And it was just the beginning of a painful and lonely and scary time for me. And would you believe that I have zero memory of God being with me in it? I have no memory of God being with me in what I would call one of the worst times of suffering in my life. Nothing. But you know what I can do? I can look back now and I can see him everywhere. I can see God everywhere dwelling in my suffering with me. He was there. I just didn't know it. I just didn't know it. And so I suffered without the knowledge that he was with me. Do you see how much more powerful it would be to know it instead of just look back and see it? Sometimes I still suffer like that. I'm like the Jewish people that Isaiah prophesied to. I can see him being so frustrated when he said, "Do you not know, people? Do you not know? Have you not heard? God loves you and he's with you. He didn't leave you. You have nothing to doubt." I suffer like that sometimes, right? I grow weary and I doubt his presence with me. But listen, God was with me when my dad died. He was with me. He was literally with me. I didn't have to wait and look back to see that later. I didn't have to wait to look back to see him. I could have seen him and embraced him and reached out to him in the midst of my suffering and found even more comfort than I can look back and see that I had then. Listen, that's my prayer for all of you this morning. That's my prayer. I pray that you will know how compassionate God really is. I pray that you will know he suffers with you when you suffer. When you suffer, he suffers with you. You don't have to look back to see him. You can see him now. You can see him now. You can reach out to him now. You can let him walk with you now in the midst of your suffering. What are you suffering right now? What is it? What are you suffering right now? What suffering are you in the middle of in your life right now? Listen, he's there. Amen? He's there in it. Scripture says he is near to the brokenhearted. He is there and he will give you strength and he will raise you up on wings like eagles. And even though you will still have to endure suffering, you will never have to endure it alone. Amen? Because God is too good to let that happen. He loves you too much to cause your suffering, and he loves you too much to leave you alone in it. He is there. I hope you will see him and reach out to him and let him be what you need him to be when you suffer, a co-sufferer, a giver of strength, and one who will raise you up when you feel knocked down. Let's pray. God, we love it that you love us so much. We love it that you care for us so much. And God, we love it that we can look back and see you in the midst of our suffering. But God, I pray today that you would help us to see you now in the present as we suffer whatever we're suffering today, tomorrow. God, help us to know you're there dwelling in that suffering, that you are near to us when we are brokenhearted. God, help us to see you, to feel you, to embrace you, to allow you to give us the strength and the power that you want to give us. We pray all this in the precious name of Christ. Amen.